Part 3. Pippi moves into Villa Villacoola. Way out at the end of a tiny little town was an old overgrown garden, and in the garden was an old house, and in the house lived Pippi Longstocking. She was 9 years old, and she lived there all alone. She had no mother and no father. And that was, of course, very nice, because there was no one to tell her to go to bed just when she was having the most fun, and no one who could make her take cod liver oil when she much preferred caramel candy. Once upon a time, Pippi had had a father of whom she was extremely fond. Naturally, she had had a mother too, but that was so long ago that Pippi didn't remember her at all. Her mother had died when Pippi was just a tiny baby and lay in a cradle and howled so that nobody could go anywhere near her. Pippi was sure that her mother was now up in heaven, watching her little girl through a peephole in the sky, and Pippi often waved up at her and called, "Don't you worry about me. I'll always come out on top." Pippi had not forgotten about her father. He was a sea captain who sailed on the great ocean, and Pippi had sailed with him in his sail ship until one day her father was blown overboard in a storm and disappeared. But Pippi was absolutely certain that he would come back. She would never believe that he had drowned. She was sure he had floated until he landed on an island inhabited by cannibals. And she thought he had become the king of all the cannibals and went around with a golden crown on his head all day long. "My papa is a cannibal king. It certainly isn't every child who has such a stylish papa," Pippi used to say with satisfaction. "And as soon as my papa has built himself a boat, he will come and get me, and I'll be a cannibal princess. Hi-ho, won't that be exciting?" Her father had bought the old house in the garden many years ago. He thought he would live there with Pippi when he grew old and couldn't sail the seas any longer. And then this annoying thing had to happen, that he was blown into the ocean, and while Pippi was waiting for him to come back, she went straight home to Villa Villacoola. That was the name of the house. It stood there ready and waiting for her. One lovely summer evening, she had said goodbye to all the sailors on her father's boat. They were all fond of Pippi, and she of them. "So long, boys," she said, and kissed each one on the forehead. "Don't you worry about me. I'll always come out on top." Two things she took with her from the ship: a little monkey whose name was Mr. Nielsen. He was a present from her father, and a big suitcase full of gold pieces. The sailors stood upon the deck and watched them as long as they could see her. She walked straight ahead without looking back at all, with Mr. Nielsen on her shoulder and her suitcase in her hand. "A remarkable child," said one of the sailors as Pippi disappeared in the distance. He was right. Pippi was indeed a remarkable child. The most remarkable thing about her was that she was so strong. She was so very strong that in the whole wide world there was not a single police officer as strong as she. Why, she could lift a whole horse if she wanted to. And she had bought one with one of her many gold pieces the day she came home to Villa Villacoola. She had always longed for a horse, and now here he was, living on the porch. When Pippi wanted to drink her afternoon coffee there, she simply lifted him down into the garden.